I'm not a traditionalist, if y'all ain't figured that out. And I don't apologize for that. Because what I want to tell you is that God is everywhere present.
Yes.
That was written by Stevie Wonder, as some of our old heads will know. And then a young lady from Australia, Miss Tori Kelly, redid it for a movie that came out a few years ago called Sing. And even when I was a kid, what I remember about the lyrics of that song is it says, "Do not worry about a thing." We profess this great faith.
Come on.
And this invisible God that nobody else can see, and half the world thinks we're crazy. We're running around, God's gonna handle it. But then we get home, close the door, and what do? We fret. We worry. We're anxious. We're crying. We're nervous. We're reaching out to people, and sometimes we're not reaching out. Mm-hmm. We'll sit there and wobble in our own misery. Self-inflicted misery, as we forget that the scripture said, "Don't you worry about a thing."
All right.
We profess it with our mouths and don't proceed to live it with our hearts and through our actions. Right? So where are we in this progress, in this process? It was a hectic week, as I mentioned earlier, with things happening in the news and things happening in the Methodist Church, things happening around the world. The Methodist Church voted with this traditional plan to ban clergy from different backgrounds and ban people from getting married. And then in the secular world, there were things happening in politics. Michael Cohen was testifying and saying that everybody, essentially from the White House on down, was a liar and should be incriminated. And then we had flips and flops in the story about Jussie Smollett. Well, did he do it? Did he not? Everything is hectic, right? Everything is hectic. And then in our own personal lives, will we make the bill payments? Are we going to be able to get out of this apartment on time and get to the new one? Are we going to be able to get this old car working so that I can get down to the job or wherever I need to be? We're fretting. We're concerned. Am I ever not going to be mad at my partner for just one 24-hour period?
Come on now.
That resonated with somebody.
Yeah.
Right? So as we're going through life, we need to remember not to worry about a thing.
Come on.
Me, who resigned from a good job recently.
Yes.
Somebody say good job.
Good job. Yeah.
I resigned from a good job. Job in Lincoln. Dream to have, and I said, okay, I'm out of here.
Uh-huh.
I'm out of here because I got other work to do.
Yes, sir.
And then I was being hard on myself. I told the clergy in the prayer room earlier, I said, I was being hard on myself because it had been 30 days and I hadn't seen the Red Sea quite parted yet. I wanted it done in my time. I was like, okay, 30 days in and my new business should be booming.
Boom.
30 days in and the money should just be falling from the sky like manna.
Uh-huh.
Well, you have hardly, I have hardly laid the foundation for the new business.
Right, that's right.
How could I possibly expect it to be profitable?
Right. Okay.
You gotta have a plan in place first. Amen?
All right. Oh, hey.
Amen.
I gotta put the plan in place and then let God work and do what God does.
Yeah. All right.
Step out of the way and let God step in.
Come on.
So originally we were going to have a message up around our faith can tear down walls and move mountains, and we're still going to be in that direction, but I'm moving, if you look in your bulletin under the sermonic text, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, looking at the New International Version. And I love this whole thing, and a couple times when I went long, Brother Tim and a couple of people said, oh, you read too much scripture. And I said, well, that's how I felt led. That was years ago. I don't forget. But it's all right. But it's all right. So
amen.
I'm going to read some today. I only put 3 verses in there for you today, but I'm going to read more from the pulpit, if that's okay with you.
All right.
So we're going to read here. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Mm-hmm. And assurance about what we do not see.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Amen. May God have blessings for reading and hearing of God's word. So what you need to understand is our faith is only required to be the size of a mustard seed. And that mustard seed-sized faith can move mountains. I'm not asking God for faith to allow me to climb over the mountain. That's a lot of work. Remember the old Negro spiritual said, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm done coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Amen. God moved the mountain for me. I got other things to do besides wasting energy climbing up the mountain. And as I read more and more, since I've been home, I had more time to read more books on spirituality and faith. And a lot of theologians, even contemporary theologians, still subscribe to this whole notion of strength and how it builds character and how it makes you better. And I hear them, but I don't receive that from me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you can receive what, if your struggle works for you, God bless you. I'm opting out of struggle whenever I can. Amen. How many of us have struggled enough already? If I don't struggle enough another day, and I'll be 50 in a couple weeks, I feel like I've struggled enough. Yeah. I don't need to struggle no more.
Amen.
I need peace, and I need the way that the scripture says that God will make the rough places plain and the crooked places straight. I need the places to be narrow and even for me, and level and even. So when I come through, I can just come on through. I don't need all this up and down, right? If that's what you ask for, you ask God to take you up the rough side of the mountain, you're going to go up the rough side of the mountain. I'm asking God to take me and move the mountain and just let me glide on through the valley. Some people call that in this country privilege, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if that's what privilege is, I'd like to take some privilege. Give a little privilege so I can glide on through the valley. Amen? Ain't no need for me to always be struggling and going through. Now, here we are at 13 years old as a body of Christ in this church. 13, if you don't know, is the age in the Hebrew tradition where a boy becomes a man, a girl becomes a woman. Growing up in Miami Beach, that where I grew up, where I was raised, at 13, you had your passage, your rite of passage, right? You had the you had the bar mitzvah, and girls had the bat mitzvah. That means you become a man and you become a woman. And there's a whole process of teachings that you go through. You learn Hebrew scripture, and you learn what it is to be a man, you learn what it is to be a woman, and to carry on the traditions of your faith and your culture and your community, right? Mm-hmm. So at 13, hello somebody, at 13, Unity right. Fellowship of Christ Church Philadelphia is going into young adulthood.
Yes.
This time, right. We ain't crawling no more, y'all.
Yeah.
Toddler days are over.
Yes.
Prepubescent days are over.
Yes.
We are now a young adult. Mm-hmm. And we have to start thinking as a young adult, making adult-like decisions.
Yes.
I can get a little bit of amens on that. Okay. That's all right. Hallelujah. We got to start, thank you, Brother Tracy. We got to start making some good adult-like decisions. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
I talked about the banking, and Pastor, you weren't here, but I mentioned it to the congregation earlier. D.C. Phil and I met with our TV bank. And we walked in and we found out that they are not a bank for the people. They're not a community bank. They're a bank for the wealthy. They're a bank for the privileged, which we will be one day, right?
Yeah.
We just claim it.
Right.
But for the moment in time where we're at, they're not the bank for us. So we go have some conversations about maybe we need to be in a place that acknowledges people like us. Small nonprofits, community-based banks that work with small organizations to help them grow and see the potential in helping small organizations grow, right?
Yeah.
And so what we didn't know is we had planted our seeds in a place where that ground wasn't completely fertile.
Amen.
It served its time and served its purpose, but it might be time to take our little... We put the seed in there years ago and it grew, and now it's time to take that baby plant and move it to more fertile soil. Amen?
Amen.
And the same goes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You planted seeds in all kinds of places, and you saw the little plant grow, and you're like, why is this vision of mine, this dream of mine, this goal of mine not prospering in the way that I think it should? I got a little baby plant here, right? And I need it to grow bigger. I need to be stronger in order for it to support the vision and the dream that I have. It might be time for you to uproot that and move it to more fertile ground. Amen?
Amen.
And that's a part of what we're going to do. When we move this body, okay, God, I just heard you speak.
All right,
so
come on now.
We planted our seed here 13 years ago in this room, on this ground. And I've watched many times Reverend Haskins did a whole ceremony where he blessed the ground and asked God for the ground to be fertile, right? And the ground was fertile to an extent that brought us to where we are today and kept us in cohesion, kept us cohesive. Mm-hmm. We didn't fall apart. We didn't disband. Some unity churches have closed, open and closed,
well,
over the last 13 years. Some have been demoted from churches to fellowships. Hello?
Right.
We are still here. Right? So it has sustained, the ground has sustained us, but like this microphone, you can take this thing and it goes down here, right? That's where we're at, but we want to be here.
Amen.
And somebody, can I get an amen?
Amen.
We want our plant to grow. It's time for our plant to be put in more fertile ground.
Yeah.
If you know anything about farming, you take the soil and you test it. Brother Carlos talked about it. We had a one-on-one conversation about the soil. He was having issues with the soil in his front yard. He knows his soil because every spring he plants his flowers,
right.
and they grow and they prosper. And he touched the soil a week or two ago, and he said, something's not right with this soil.
Mm-hmm.
He went inside and expressed it to his family, and they were like, looks fine to me. And he's like, no, no, no. I know my soil.
Yes.
Something's wrong with that soil.
Something wrong.
Something ain't right. I put my hands in the soil, and I know how it's supposed to feel
yeah,
at
right.
this time of year. It feels dry.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it won't allow me to grow new plants and flowers this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your hands in the soil and the ground is not fertile, if it comes through like sand instead of rich, fertile soil, then it's time for you to uproot your plant.
Come on down.
Yes.
It's time to uproot your plant and move. It's time for us to go. I don't know any other way to say it.
Yeah.
I can put icing on the cake. I can put sugar in the salt. But the reality is it's time for us.
They can play there.
All right.
They can
play. I can't say anything other way. We've got every kind of indicator that you could possibly get. If you were on a job and had gotten this many indications that it was time to leave, and you still went and sat at that desk or on that assembly line or in that factory every day, then that would be on you. Because the universe is telling you in every direction,
it's time to go.
Imagine Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman hearing the voice of God say to them, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
How different would our history be if they had decided to stay?
Mm-hmm. Come on
now. How different would our history be if when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was told, it's time to go, it's time to go to Selma, it's time to rise up, it's time to march, it's time to be incarcerated for things that you believe are right and that you will stand up for and put your reputation on the line for. How different would our history be if a man named Martin Luther, who some of you don't know, was the founder of the Protestant Church. He separated from what was the Catholic Church and then what later became the Lutheran Church.
You better see. Come
That's
on.
Right.
You better see.
And so that was the first official Protestant Church.
Right.
And then all of us, the Methodists and Unity and all these other denominations, Presbyterian and Baptist, all those are offspring of him.
Yes,
if he had, imagine if he hadn't said, listen to when God said, baby, it's time to take your plant and uproot it.
Come on
now.
Say that.
So this story about Joshua, which the scripture is about the people listening to God for once. Because the people of the children of Israel were stubborn. They were difficult. Sometimes we down south we say hard-headed. My grandma used to say a hard head makes a soft heart. Which for those of you who are from other cultures and traditions means if you don't listen, I'm gonna give you corporal punishment, which we don't do anymore. But you know, back in the day, that's what they would say, and they meant it.
Yes.
They meant it, right? So the children of Israel had come through. They rushed out of Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. We fast forward. Moses had been given the vision and told that Canaan was going to be their land, even though it was occupied by what they called pagans, people that worship gods other than the God of Israel, right?
Okay.
And the thing about Moses is he didn't live to see the fulfillment of the prophecy. Mm-hmm. But then Joshua came and was given the assignment to move them into the first phase of taking over Canaan. And Jericho was this town, was one of the first towns that they were told they were going to take over. Jericho was a city where they worshiped pagan gods. They had prostitution. They did a little bit of everything. It was like Vegas. They did a little bit of everything. It was all good in Jericho. Whatever you wanted to do, come on in with your gold coins and your silver coins, and let's get it popping, right? And Joshua had a peculiar task ahead of him because he was told, I want you to take over this town. And as you know in history, these towns had big, high brick walls around them.
Yeah.
I don't mean like the ones we have in West and North and South Philly with the, you know, a little fence of 4 feet or 6 feet. I'm talking about walls that were maybe 15, 20 feet high so they could have guards to look down and see from the post. And I know you've heard this story many times, but the part of it that I want to emphasize to you the most is that the people had been told to uproot the plant from the place that wasn't fertile. They had finally gotten tired of wandering in a circle in that 40 years in that desert. Right? Imagine, I gave this analogy I think years ago at Convocation. Imagine you were going to a city, you were on the plane, and you came up to the airport, and you were in the plane, and the pilot says, oh, we're about to land in 15 minutes, and then name a place you always wanted to go and never been. Japan? Okay. We're 15 minutes outside of Tokyo, and here we are, and you look out the window of the plane, and you say, oh, look, there's Tokyo, there's that building I wanted to go to, there's all those places I want to go. And then the pilot comes back and says, we can't land. We got to go in a circle for 4 years. That's what, literally, that's what happened to the children of Israel. They were in the desert. Canaan was on the other side of the mountain. If they only knew, if they had opened their eyes, their spiritual eyes, hello somebody.
Hello.
If they opened their spiritual eyes and said, I'm open to what God is saying to me, right? God said, pick up my plant out of Israel, so because it's not prospering here, and I'm going to move it over here to Canaan, where this land that was promised to me, this fertile soil where it will grow and prosper, and then I'm going to take it and plant it in fertile soil. But because they were stubborn, they had got stuck in that pattern for 40 years going in a circle. So finally, they had listened, and God said, okay, now's the time. You're going to move into Canaan. Poor Moses, because of their stubbornness, he suffered and never got to see the beautiful promised land, right? And so they're at this place, and they were given specific instructions. I'm not going to go into all of it, because you've heard the story where they had to, one day they went around, he sent the priest around. Another day he sent the armor bearers around. And then the final day, they all went around seven times, and they, at the specific moment, and this is what the story to me is about. It's about listening, it's about paying attention, it's about following directions.
Okay, amen.
Heeding God's instructions.
Come on now.
It's time for us to heed God's instructions.
Hallelujah.
Not just in our individual lives, but as a body of Christ. It's time for us to heed God's instructions and get on up out of here.
Come on now.
Don't get too comfortable,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
We got too comfortable. You be real comfortable. Oh, I like that blue chair. That's my chair. I'm going to sit right there. And then sometimes they come in, they give us the, now we got new chairs. See these black ones? We got new ones up there. And I even said to Minister Marcus, I said, oh, that's nice.
Ain't it though?
Don't get too comfortable. Mm-hmm. Don't get too comfortable. That's not ours. It could be there next week or it could be gone next week.
Say that.
We have no control. We could be here this week and not here next week.
Next week.
We have no control over that, right?
Okay.
So the thing about it is, when they followed those commands and they did that march around, and then they all made this great noise when they were commanded to, the walls came tumbling down.
Yes, they did.
And they were able to go in and take the city that had been promised to them. Now, Old Testament, they were kind of bugged out in the Old Testament, the way they did things. You know, they were like, Oh, God said, this is ours. We're going in, and they would kill all the people, all the animals. It was insane. Like, when you read it, it's like, whoa, you couldn't have kept the cows? They killed everything. But that was, those were the instructions. Those were the instructions. So whatever our instructions are, right? Our shepherd, Reverend Hanson, will receive the instruction, and we will follow the instructions to the team.
Amen.
Yes. If it says we're going to find a building in a tough neighborhood, and we got to go in and run out some drug dealers, and run out some gang members, and run out, you know, and some people say, oh, you can't run out of a drug dealer. You don't know me. Don't let this fool you on where I'm going. Hey! And you don't know who's in my family that I can call on.
That's right.
Everybody in my family ain't sick. Amen. If I need to call some of my cousins, I can do that.
Why not call Jesus?
Every day, all day long.
You don't have to worry about nothing, right?
Amen.
Listen.
We can go to God.
That's what we do. And we thank you for that.
We soldiers. This is different.
Let me do my sermon, and then you can speak after this is over. Amen. But thank you for your input. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna follow the directions and the instructions that God gives us, right? Whatever those instructions are. Sometimes it will be things that seem like it's in agreement with our belief system. Sometimes it might challenge us and push us a little bit to go outside of our comfort zone. Sometimes we might be pushed a little bit to say. Because, you know, if it was me, I would have looked at, like, when you sent me the list of buildings, I was like, oh, I'm only looking here. So I was looking at a very specific, you know, like, I know it's relatively safe here, and I know I can get the subway or the trolley and boom, boom. And then I was like, oh, well, if I have to leave late at night, I'll be all right coming from that direction. You know what I'm saying? But I may have to go outside my comfort zone. Right? Yeah. All of us may have to go outside our comfort zone. It may not look like what we want it to look like when we get there. It may feel different. And I know for sure that the neighbor's gonna feel different because we've been in Center City for so long, but being in the neighborhood is gonna be a totally different feeling.
Yeah.
Right? So all of it's gonna be new. But we have to embrace it all. And we have to receive it all and be prepared to embrace the neighbors, whether they embrace us or not.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to somebody?
Amen.
Because we don't know what it's gonna be like. Right?
Amen.
And like the young man that just said, we're going to be calling on God, and we're going to be continuing to pray. We'll invite our neighbors in to pray with us, whether they agree with us or disagree with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let them know this is who we are. We celebrate, we practice, we worship, we fellowship, and we commune in love.
Yeah.
Will you join us?
Yeah.
If not, at least you know who we are.
Yes.
And you can refer anyone to us that's willing to come through the doors in love.
Amen. 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 Amen.
All right, let me just close this on out. Whew. I had a whole bunch of scripture I was going to use. Did you see how the Lord works?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God is good. But let it suffice to say that everything that we need, I've said this many times, everything we need is already inside of us.
Amen.
And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Everything, all the tools we need, all the information we need, everything we need. DC Phil, every now and then he sent me a text. Well, I was thinking, and he says, let me call this person to see what this person says, and I think I know who owns that building. And I was just like, are you kidding me? You know? But I was grateful at the same moment.
Amen. Right? Amen.
Because we're thinking outside the box.
We
went inside the box, DC Phil, in that last suit. That was a TV bank. We went to the big box.
Okay.
And we walked inside, and the box was like, you ain't welcome here.
Right.
Very politely, though.
He's on a lot.
In a tie and a suit and good hair done, dudes, and makeup and all that. And you know. And we were like, and I told DC Phil, I was like, I had to sit there and like keep my face together. Because it's very different. My face always betrays me, my facial expression. And I was like, I had to not in my face say what I was thinking, had not allowed my face to say what I was thinking. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I had to kind of hold it together, right? But it's all right. That was a sign that, okay, this traditional, as I had already sort of thought, this traditional route is probably not the route, right? But guess what? We're non-traditional people. We've never been traditional people. So it only makes sense that our path will not be traditional. Amen?
Amen.
So hold your heads up as you go through this week. I want you to just remember that faith can move mountains.
Move.
And we're going to continue to pray as a body. What is it, every Wednesday at noon?
Yeah.
And I know sometimes people forget. Sometimes I forget. If you remember at 12:05, that's okay. Still pray then.
Amen.
If you remember at midnight on Wednesday, going into Thursday, that's okay. Pray anyway. Pray for this body that God continues to strengthen us.
Amen.
God continues to make the path clear and plain for us.
Yes.
And God
yes.
continues yes. to make a way for us to do the great work that we want to continue to do.
Amen.
Ashe?
Ashe.
Amen. Amen. Amen.